It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the presence of God. Oh, man, I tell you what, I love worshiping God. How many of you love worshiping God? How many of you know God's worthy of worship? Is that right? He's worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the season. Is that right? How many of you know the season for loving Christ is all year long? Is that right? It never stops. Amen. Hallelujah. I especially like this season. I love the traditions that we go through, the Christmas season. Thank God for it. How many of you guys are shopping a lot? Is that right? We've got a lot of shoppers in here. Hallelujah. How many of you know that Christmas season can get stressful on you? Is that right? Does anybody know that? Nobody knows that. Is it just me? Praise God, man. I got to look at the, so what day is it, man? Man, I got to go buy a gift. I got to go. Does anybody go through that? No? Yeah. How many of you know God wants us to operate in peace and joy? Hallelujah. I love what he's done. Amen. I remember when I didn't know the Lord. I do remember that. Even though it was a long time ago. I remember that this season and this time was something different. It was a time to go party and have fun on my own and whatever. And it just wasn't. I mean, that's when I was a teenager. When I was small with my mom and everything and my brothers and sisters, it was different. We had Christmas and it was nice. But as I got older, it kind of turned inward to where it was about me. Is that right? You guys know what I mean? But I love what Jesus has done for us. Amen. What God has done through his son. Let me read this. I was looking at this kind of yesterday people plan to spend more this year than in past years before. This is by the American Research Group. It says that people will spend on the average $929 just in November. Anybody? How much you plan? How many of you budget what you're going to spend for Christmas? Some folks are, I never get a chance to even think about that. Last year it was $882, so it's actually $47 an increase. This was by this group. I can tell you right now, I don't spend anything in November. I'm always the last week in December. Isn't that right, John? Yeah. I says, man, that's when the choices are limited. You don't have so many. That's what I like. No, man. Internet shopping has gone up. Last year, it was 32% of people that were asked. 32% of the people did internet shopping. This year, 55%. They're expecting it to go up to 75% next year. Isn't that crazy? Internet shopping. Man, that UPS guy is going to be busy. Is that right? I'll tell you what, man. Here's a question that was asked if people will wait for sales. 22% of the people plan to pay full price. Am I ringing? Is it kind of ringing? No? 22% plan to pay full price. 61% of the people plan to wait until items go on sale. How many of you do that? Anybody here wait for items to go on sale? 17% say it depends on the gift. Is that right? Hey, if it's one of those gifts that, you know, going to sell out quick, better buy it while you see it. Amen? Yeah, okay. Does anybody in here shop? Am I? That doesn't sound like I'm talking to myself here. Praise God. Yeah. 17% say it depends on the gift. And hence, that is kind of where I got the title of the sermon. It depends. It depends on the gift. How many of you know Jesus is the greatest gift that God could give mankind? And it all depends on the gift. It depends on Jesus. My life is dependent upon who Christ is in my life. And I thank God for that. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's go to the Word of God. If you would open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 55. Glory to God. Depends on the gift. Hallelujah. How many know the Word of God talks about Jesus all the time? Is that right? The Old Testament is speaking about Christ. And one of the things I like to do is when I'm reading scriptures, I like to be able to, hey, this is talking about Jesus. And, you know, sometimes it's not real immediate and clear sometimes, but then all of a sudden a word or two hits and say, hey, that's Jesus. This is Jesus. And that's what I did with this. That's what I was looking at this scripture. And what caught my attention was later in the verses, it says, joy and peace shall be upon you. And the joy and the peace, I was thinking Christmas. And then all of a sudden, my heart just went, hey, it's speaking about Jesus. So let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. God, we thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. God, we know, Father God, that you are the reason for the season. You are, Father God, the reason that we're here. You are, Father, the reason why we're healthy and why we have things, Father, it's come from you. And we understand and we know that, Father. So this morning, Father, we honor you and we give you thanks. And Father God, while we read your word, Father, would you open your word to our hearts? Speak to every individual that's here today, Father. Open your word. Speak to them. Father, I'd ask that you would lift them up, pick them up, strengthen them. For those that are lonely, Father God, that you would, Father, show them that you are a companion that never goes away. You are someone that is with them always, Father. For those that are hurting, Father God, I ask that you would speak to that hurt, that the oil, the balm of Gilead would be poured into those hurts, Father. I thank you for it this morning. I thank you, Lord, for the great things that you have for us as we look at your word this morning, God. In Jesus' name I pray, if you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Great things God has for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55, starting at verse 6, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Is that right? Hallelujah. Seek the Lord while he's near. Verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isn't it funny how God would say that to us? My thoughts aren't your thoughts. My ways aren't your ways. How many of you know that? How many of you know that our ways aren't his ways? And our thoughts are not his thoughts? How many of you know that? You understand that he is speaking to us It's important that, you know, the first verse that we read, I'm going to go back to it real quick. It says this, seek the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he's near. And then verse 7 says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. He's speaking and he's saying, hey, let go of those unrighteous thoughts and let my thoughts be your thoughts. See, it would seem like he's lifting his thoughts and his ways up above where we can't reach them, but actually he's telling us something. He's saying, hey, let those go and allow my thoughts to be your thoughts. Allow my ways to be your ways. Is that okay? And I'll tell you, and I said, Lord, that's all I want. I want my ways to be your ways. I want my thoughts to be your thoughts. Because you know what? When you think about people, and I think about folks a lot. I think about all of you a lot. Is that right? Even the ones I don't know. I'm just kidding. I think about you. I said, Lord, speak to me something that would influence their heart, that would make them feel the love that you have for them. Father, I don't know what to say, but I know you do. So, Lord, give me your thoughts. Give me the things you're thinking about that person or that person or that person. Give me that thought, Lord. And he says, just let go of your ways and allow my thoughts to come to you. Isn't that cool? It seems like it's way off there, but God is actually baiting us. How many of you have baited a hook before? He's actually saying something to us. Hey, look, there is a way that you can get to my thoughts. There is a way that you can get to my ways. Amen. And he's about to reveal something that I like. This is where I found Jesus, all right? So watch this. He says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not there, but it waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word." How many of you know that the word of God, it says in John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God." And then somewhere on the 14th or 16th verse, it said, "And the word became flesh and met and dwelt among us." So here the word is saying, so shall my word, so shall Jesus be. So shall Jesus be that goes forth out of my mouth. He will not return unto me void, but he will accomplish that which I please, and he shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent him. Can we do that this morning? Because I believe this verse is speaking about Jesus. Because he says, look, friends, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. You've got nothing but the law to show you, to give you an idea of what I'm like. You've got nothing like that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you my word. His name is Jesus. Is that okay? Amen. Ooh, come on, man. Hallelujah. And then it says this. So, and then it says in verse 12, it says, "For you shall go out with joy." These are the scriptures. These are the ones I said. It's talking about Christmas. "You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing." Hallelujah. "And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." Do you know that we're the trees? He's talking all the trees of the field. Not just the Israel trees, but all the trees. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You see, this is talking about Jesus and what Jesus is going to do and how God's going to send his word into the earth and it's going to accomplish the thing. Do you know that's what's going on? You know, the word tells us this. He that began a good work in you, he will perform it. Is that right? He's going to do the work in you if you'll let him. How many of you know that we got to let him do what he wants to do? Is that okay? Hallelujah. He will perform it. The word of God says, "My word will not return to me void." And when he died on that cross, well, let me tell you, he died for you. He died for you. Hallelujah. Put up John 3:16. You guys know this verse. You see, but he says, "My ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts." So I have to send my word to you. Hallelujah. So for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Because God loved us. And the law just does not do it for us. How many of you know that? It doesn't bring you into what God has for you. It keeps you back. Is that right? It holds you back. Unless you can keep the whole law. Can anybody keep the whole law? Mm-mm. Nobody but one. Jesus. What was his name? Jesus. So when you talk about the law, you know who you're talking about? Jesus. The one who can hold the law. The only one who can fulfill the law. Ooh, man. Hallelujah. That's a well. There's a deep waters in that right there. What we just got through saying to you. He is the only one that could keep that law. For the law says, for man, the law profits nothing. Is that right? But then Paul says, so is the law any good? No, absolutely no. It is the schoolmaster to bring you to who? Jesus. Hallelujah. Can we put up John, 1 John chapter 4:9. His ways are not your ways and his thoughts are not your thoughts. So 1 John 4:9 says this, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world." Why? "That we might live through him." He had to send Jesus. He absolutely had to send him for you. Is that cool? Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, joy to the world. Woo. Angels we have heard on high. Oh, come on. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful. And I was in a concert the other day, and one of the things they said, do you realize that Christmas is the only holiday that has specific songs for that holiday? Do you know that? Amen. It's the only one. You can sing America Beautiful anytime you want. But it's just kind of odd singing Christmas songs, you know, on Easter. Isn't that right? It's the only holiday that men know. Well, we do it on Easter too, don't we? We got some Easter songs. But listen, isn't it something specific? Why? Because when those angels came down, they was a singing. Oh, joy to the world. The Lord has come. Hallelujah. Let earth, what? See her King. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Man, I'll tell you. Hallelujah. So we don't know how God is. We don't actually understand. It's hard to understand God by the law. And then you look at the prophets and how they acted and everything. But how really does God really act? How does he think? And one of the things I'm just going to go through is that we'll turn to Luke chapter 6. And Jesus speaks some things. And it's right after he's telling his disciples, look, men are going to hate you. They're not going to like you. How many of you know that? But he says, don't worry about it. He says, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Because that's the way they treated me. That's the way they treated the prophets. And then he begins this little discourse. And I really like this, man. So let me get to it real quick. Starts this. Luke 6, starting at verse 27, he says, and he's saying this to us, he says, but I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Now think about, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. And now he's saying, look, here Jesus is, the Word made flesh, is saying, look, I'm about to show you my ways. I'm going to show you some of my thoughts. Isn't that cool? And he says this, I say to you here, that hear, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. And to him, that smites you on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that asks, and him that takes away your cloak, forbid not to take your coat also. Give to every man that asks of thee, and of him that takes away your goods, ask them not again. Is that a different way of looking at things, folks? Is it different? Is it higher than what we think? It's way higher. It says, verse 31 says, as you would that men should do to you, do also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them who of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Second time he said that. Is that right? Love your enemies and do good. Lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. and you shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Do you see what it says right there? God is kind to the unthankful, and He's kind to the evil. Is that higher than our ways? Yeah. Let me tell you something, folks. If we spend enough time around Jesus, these things will begin to filter into us. And as they begin to filter into us, that person that has been, what can I call it? The pain in my backside. How's that? Yeah. That person that's been the pain in your backside will become an object of prayer, will become an object of love to you. Is that okay? Because, folks, this is higher than our ways. These things are higher. These thoughts are higher than the way we operate and the way we think. Hallelujah. And you shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. It's easy to look at somebody outside those doors that doesn't know the Lord. It's easy to say, you know what, just kind of push them off to the side. But Jesus would never, ever do that. He would not do it. He would love them. He would care for them. If they had needs, He would care for them. Hallelujah. Folks, you just can't push people off to the side. Do you know that? Doesn't matter what's... I mean, you know what? We can come up with all sorts of excuses. But what excuse, folks, for hurting somebody or causing somebody... What excuse are you going to say? Well, this is why God... Oh, because he'll say, because of an unpenitent heart, people will do things like that. Is that right? Because they don't know who I am and what I'm trying to say to them. And folks, we are the ones that are carrying the treasure that the world needs. Yeah. We cannot operate the way we used to operate. We have to operate the way God is saying that we need to operate. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father is merciful. Amen? Everybody okay? I'm not getting on anybody. Okay, well, come on. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and what? Oh, come on. Hallelujah. How many like being forgiven with God? Oh, come on. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. And then something changes. Verse 38. He says this, give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured unto you again. He talks about give. Give, and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. How many of you guys like giving? Hallelujah. You know, we are a giving bunch of folks. Is that right? We like giving. I like giving. Hallelujah. And how many of you know there's a way to give? Is that right? There is a way to give. God has told us. He says, I will give. What I recognize is a cheerful, loving giver. Amen? I threw the loving in there because, hey, we operate by what? We operate by love. Hallelujah. So what I want to do is just want to talk to you a little bit. The Lord has been talking to me about speaking some things to the body. And how many of you know we don't take offerings here. We take offerings, but we don't pass the bucket. How many of you guys know that? There's a reason for that. There's a big reason for that. Because He told me not to. Is that okay? He said, don't do that. Don't do that in this house. The box is back there. People are loving spirit. They desire to give to God because God says He will open doors for them. You know what? I mean, that's up to you. You give. I'm not forcing you nothing. Do not force people to do any. Do not force. Do you know what an enforcer will do? A forcer will put somebody that... Come here, stand up here just for a second. lay down, let me walk on you, man. No, I'm just kidding. You know what? You know what's not right is forcing people to do things that they don't want to do. Come on. Yeah, this guy's a big guy. God doesn't want us forcing anybody. Is that right?
Right.
Everything with the Lord doesn't come by force. You know how it comes? It comes by flow.
Come on.
It comes out of you by flow.
Come on.
The flow of the Lord in you, man. I want to give, Lord. Lord, I want to help, Lord. I want to do for you, Lord. It's called flow. Hallelujah. And that's how God does things, by flow. The river, the waters of Shiloh, what it says in the Old Testament, that flow softly. But yet they can be very deep and very powerful. It's flow, it's not force. So he says, do not force my people to do anything that they don't want to do. I said, praise God. I don't like being forced. Hallelujah. So I'm going to talk to you about giving, and it's not so I can rattle change out of your pockets. Is that okay? It's because God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. Uh-oh. We're going to talk about giving. Uh-oh, here it comes. All right, I want you to take a look at. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 17. Let's read that. Hallelujah. This whole year, I only spoke about giving once. One time. This is the second time this year. The Lord has spoken something to me. If my people are going to prosper, you need to speak to them about giving. I said, okay. All right, God, I'll do that. I get a little uncomfortable because I know the way people feel when you're talking about giving. Look, I'm going to tell you something. As I said earlier, God blesses a cheerful giver. Amen? Hallelujah. You're feeling forced this morning. You know, it's not me. I don't believe it's the Holy Ghost. Huh. Hallelujah. So I just thought I'd get that out of the way. Praise God. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 17 says this, let every man, you can put woman in there too, let every man give as he is able according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he has given thee. Is that okay?
Amen.
According to the blessing that he's given you. How many of you know all things that everything that you have is coming from God anyway? God's going to put it into your hands. Is that right? Hallelujah. And whatever comes into your hands, he's saying you've got to give a certain portion of that. He's not asking. How many of you know that God needs money? Does God need your money? Does he need your money? He don't need your money. You know what he needs? He needs an avenue to bless you is what he needs. So this avenue right here is one of the ones he's trying to get open. Let every man give as the Lord has blessed him. How many have been blessed by the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I was talking to a young man this morning. I said, look, if God gives you a dollar, how much do you owe God? He goes, well, I'd just give him the whole dollar. I said, well, yeah, well, that's good. That's 100% tithing, man. But I'm talking about tithing. God gives you a dollar, how much do you owe God? 10 cents. Not hard, is that right? Hallelujah. Some people give 10%, some people give 20, some 30, some 40. I mean, and I'll tell you what, when you begin to give with a joyful heart, I will tell you that I've never seen the righteous forsaken in this. Is that right? When your heart is right, when you're giving with God looks at that and says, great times are coming, bro. Is that right? Praise God. Hallelujah. Because giving is not just your money. Is that right? Giving it can be in a whole lot of different areas. And God will bless every one of those areas. Is that right? Because I want you to look at that word. It says, according to the blessing that God has given you. That's cool, huh? I remember one time, and I'm not going to go through this whole story because a lot of you have heard it, but it's kind of a long story. But I had this real nice four-wheel drive international pickup, short bed. I mean, had to climb up. I guess the door post was about here. Had to climb up and get in. It was a big truck. I had just overhauled the engine. Fired up, man. It would just hit the key and boom, it would start. Man, that was it. I had rebuilt the front end. It was a 1970 truck. It had these big knuckles. A lot of you guys will remember the knuckles. It's not like the four-wheel drives now. It's just got an axle. It had knuckles on it and all this other stuff. Rebuilt that. I was getting ready to rebuild the rear end. And evangelist from Mexico had broke down on the freeway. And long story short, I ended up giving him that truck reluctantly. Reluctantly. And except for the fact that when I was talking to the Lord about, because Rosie said, I believe God wants you to give him the truck. I don't even know the guy. I had a lot of excuses. He's from Mexico, man. I mean, I had a lot of excuses why not. And two or three people came to me and said, man, you got to give this guy your truck. So I ended up giving him this truck because while I was rebuilding it, I was working at Firestone down the street, and there was a red pickup that was a red Ford pickup. How many of you guys know I'm not a Ford guy? Hey, God lets us choose, amen? Hallelujah. He says, choose the good and resist the high. I'm sorry. I'm a Chevy guy. But you know, it was funny because I had this Ford pickup that I bought from the Firestone. I bought it for like $100 because it had a flat tire. They had their sign on the side of it. Their manager from Phoenix came down, saw the truck, and then 2 weeks later comes down, sees it again. He goes, get rid of that truck. What is this? This is a Firestone. There's a truck sitting out there with our sign on it, and it's got a flat tire. What does that tell you guys? You know, yeah, poor management. You know, so I had asked about it, and then they came in and said, hey, you want to buy that truck? Yeah, how much you give us for it? $100. Okay, it's yours, man. So, all right. So I got it fixed, and I'm driving this truck. Didn't have a fuel gauge on it. So I'm driving this truck, giving my four-wheel drive truck that I put quite a bit of money into it to give it to a guy that goes into the mountains. It's okay. But I had a dream about that. I was saying, Lord, I'm not real happy about giving it, but I'll obey. I'll do. Because there was a scripture that came to me. It said this. The Holy Spirit said to me, how dwells the love of God in you if you see your brother has need and you won't give it to him? I had two trucks. I had the little red truck and I had the one I was working on. And I said, Lord, I don't want to give him that truck. I said, but I'll do what you want me to do, Lord. So I gave him the truck. I gave. Later on, when he came to pick up the truck, and he came with his family, and they were so excited talking. I don't talk Spanish very well, but they were thanking me. And one of the little boys ran up to me, and Hermano Henry, gracias, gracias por the truck. And I'm, yeah. Right when I hugged him, I realized that I had had a dream about him. And I realized that what was happening was he was seeing the kingdom of God as a little boy, how somebody didn't know their family would give them a vehicle. It's pretty cool. I thought it was cool. Anyway, I was here. I was at church working on Saturday afternoon and left in my Ford clunker. And I'm going down there, get on the freeway. I got Jonathan. He's probably about 5 or 6 years old. I don't remember. I don't know if he remembers this. But as soon as I got on the freeway, I ran out of gas. Right. I got a little excited. How many of you know that? I got a little excited. And I started saying, there it is, God. This truck. Here's the truck I got. So, you know, I had a good truck, but now here I am in this truck. It's got no gas gauge. I'm out of gas. Got my son here. I was a little upset. I told Jonathan, look, you know, stay here. He had some stuff he was playing with. I said, stay here, and I'll be back. I'm just going to go down. Because the next exit, which was Esperanza exit right down here, the Arco station was open at that time. So I had a gas can in the back of my truck. You know how we know it's God's fault? Anyway, I grabbed my little gas can and I'm walking. And I'm complaining away as I walk. God, I don't get it. I give my truck and this is what I'm doing. I'm walking on the freeway. Walking, Lord. All of a sudden, this limousine pulls up in front of me. And I'm looking, what? And as I get close to it, the back door on the right side pops open. And I look in there. He goes, get in. Get in, bro. All right, man. I got a gas can. It's all right. Get in. So I get in, sit down. And he takes off. He goes, man, I'm lost. I'm supposed to be looking for a place called St. Thomas. St. Thomas. I go, oh, I said, you're talking about Santo Tomas. You guys know where Santo Tomas is? I go, you're talking about Santo Tomas, man. You passed it. You got to go back to that exit that you just went under. You need to get off that. And he goes, well, where are you going? I'll take you. Cool. All right. So we pull into the Arco station, this big old limousine, bunch of cars there. And I get out with my gas can. I walk over, put in my 1 gallon of gas. People are looking at me. I began to realize that God sent a limo to pick me up. Is that right? He takes me all the way back. So I said, hey, drop me off right here, man. I'm going to tell you, it totally changed my attitude. And it's almost like God was saying, you know what? I've got you, son. I've got you. And I can tell you, it's worth it all, that when I give, God says, I'm going to give you again. I'm going to give it back to you. I'm going to take care of you, is what he says. Hallelujah. The head on my sheet is trucks and limos. Uh-huh. I knew somebody would ask you that. Yeah. I sold it. No, I shouldn't say I sold it. I got rid of it. How's that? No. Born again, man. Yeah. You know how Ford gets born again? You drop a Chevy engine in it. Come on, somebody. Is that right, Frank? Come on, man. Hallelujah. It's got power from on high. Come on, man. Praise God, man. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. Hallelujah. Malachi chapter 3. Praise God. Verses 8 through 12. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? God says this in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. It's apparent that God is saying to this nation, you have not been giving tithes and offerings, so you're cursed with a curse. Do you see what God's saying to us? Give. It opens blessing and not cursing. Is that okay? Is that okay to say that to you? Because that's what it is. God wants to bless you. He says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. And test me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out of what? Everybody say blessing. Blessing. A blessing. That there shall not be room enough to receive it. How many of you say, yeah, that's all. I'm in for that, God. Is that right? And now what he's saying basically is just test me. Just try it. Check it out. Give your tithe in the storehouse and see if I will not back up that tithe and begin to bring blessing back to you. Does it happen immediately? Sometimes it might. But God will always keep his word. How many of you know that? God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent of the things that he's spoken to us. He will give. And you know what? Sometimes when you're walking down the road and you see people having struggles and everything, I mean, one of the things in my heart is, do you not know that God will bless you if you'll open a door to him? How do you open the door? You give. You begin to give. And then he says, take it into the storehouse. Take it in to the house. I've heard people say, you know what? I go to that church and I don't get fed there. I said, really? Do you pay your tithes there? Well, no, because I don't get fed there. Well, you know what? The Bible doesn't say that. It says pay your tithes and the meat will be in the house. Get fed. How many want to get fed by God? Hallelujah. I want to be a fat baby sheep. I want to get fed by the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Test me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Is that good?
Yes.
You know what? No room enough to receive it. Just picture a glass, and you're pouring water into it, and what's happening? It begins to overflow. God is into overflowing, folks. He's an overflowing, overfilling God. Hallelujah. Oh, man. I love that. And he says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Do you see that? He will rebuke the devourer. Who will rebuke the devourer? He will. He'll say, man, you know, that one that comes to destroy, to steal, kill, and destroy, I'm going to take care of that in your house. Because you're obedient to what I've asked you to do. Isn't that cool? Doesn't take much. Is that right? How many of you know there's some folks that have a death grip on their money? Is that right? Just will not. And yet they don't realize that God is saying, release that and I'll release a blessing to you. It's cool, man. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And then he says this, and all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land. Amen? Saith the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. When I look at these scriptures, I say, man, you know what? Because I'm thinking about my city a lot, and I believe this city is going to be a delightsome city. I believe it's going to be a city set on a hill that cannot be hid because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it takes, folks, it takes blessing. It takes the Lord to bless his people. Watch this, watch this. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you another scripture. It says this. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 11. No, I'm sorry. Let's go to Proverbs 10:22 first. No, let's go to 11:11 first. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. Proverbs 11:11. And it's going to be just the first part. By the blessing of the upright, the city is what? By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. Then the rest of that is, but it's overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. So that part doesn't pertain to any of you here. Is that okay? But the first part of this, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. I'll just say, just know this. That it takes blessing to come into your house, and then that blessing overflowing into the house of God, overflowing out of the house of God into the city. I don't know if you guys can picture what I'm saying to you, but this is what happens in a city when the people begin to turn to the Lord and the blessing of the Lord begins to roll into the city, because God is so faithful to his word. Hallelujah. And I believe that's what's going to happen in this city. By the blessing of the upright, the city is what? Exalted. A city that cannot be hid. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. No. Sorry. Proverbs 10:22. Hallelujah. So, man, what a confusing guy you are. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing. The what?
Blessing.
The blessing of the Lord, what? Makes rich. And he adds what? Come on, man. What's the difference of sorrow? What's the opposite of sorrow?
Joy.
Joy. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. And let's say he adds joy, unspeakable and full of glory to it. Oh, man, come on, man. Hallelujah. Can I tell you that God wants to pour into the house? He wants to pour into your house. Like I said, he wants to pour into this house, and he wants to pour out of this house into the city. Hallelujah. It's called overflow. Overflow. God is trying to overflow. Oh, man. Do you know that the scripture says that God, that the sinner, they work hard, and they store it all up, and they put it in the banks or whatever, only, the Bible says, to give it to the righteous. Hallelujah. God knows where the funds are, folk. God is the fundraiser. Ooh, man, hallelujah. That's a word. He's the fundraiser. He's the one that brings the ability to prosper into any place, any plan. And it starts by honoring Him. Honor the Lord with all your substance. Hallelujah. That takes me to Proverbs 3:9. Nine, yes. I'm sure. I think. Proverbs 3:9 says this, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of what? What are the first fruits? Let's play a tithe in there. With all your increase. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, God doesn't mess around. Is that right? God doesn't tease us. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. Verse 10 says, so that your barns be filled with plenty and your presses shall burst out new wine. I'm going to tell you something. God is into overflow. Last scripture. This will be the last scripture. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Glory to God. Starting at verse 6, Paul is writing to the Corinthians and he's asking them to make up an offering before he gets there. So, in verse 6 he says, but this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. Is that true? How many of you know that? Amen. If you plant one corn stalk in your yard, you might get, what, 4, 5, I don't know how many ears of corn does a... You might get maybe 5 ears of corn. Plant 20, you might get 100. Is that right? And so on and so on. So the scriptures, it's not saying anything that we don't know. Is that right? But what if he's talking about something different? What if he's talking about giving? And he says that. It says, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loves what? How many times have we said that? God loves a cheerful giver. Is that right? This is a season of great cheer. Is that right? Hallelujah. Go to the mall and look around some of the people that are buying stuff. Sometimes they don't look very happy. Is that right? Just take a look. This is a time of great cheer. Hallelujah. God loves a cheerful giver. And verse 8 says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, having all sufficiency. Do you see that word? Having all sufficiency, not in just some things, but in all things, having all sufficiency. What's he talking about? Everything you need. Everything you need. He said, it may abound to every good work. For every work that you do, whatever you do, God wants to give you everything you need. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread to your food and multiply your seed sown and an increase of the fruits of your righteousness. I'm going to tell you something once again. I see Jesus in this scripture. Do you see Jesus here? Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food. Does Jesus not say he's the bread of life? Does he not say that? And multiply your seed sown. And then he says, and increase the fruits of your what? Do you see Jesus? He is the righteous one. Upon his thigh, says King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the righteous one. Hallelujah. Then he says, as being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Can I just say this to you? When God begins to bless your house and bless your church and bless the city, all of a sudden people all over begin to praise God. Praise God, he's doing something. Amen. I like that. I'm going to tell you something. Giving. When you give, do you know who you're acting like? You are acting like God himself. For God so loved the world that he gave. That's why it's so powerful to give. Because when you give, you're acting like God. And when you're acting like God, hallelujah. Do you know that the Bible says that when he gave his son, it was something that he said. He goes, I approve of this. My son's going to die for you. My son's going to go to the cross for you. And God says, I approve of it because he so loved us. Is that cool? That's cool. So give and give again and give again. I like what I used to listen to. Kenneth Copeland, he said this once. He goes, when you're down to your last 20, walk outside, walk down the street and find somebody to give it to. Give, and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Let's try. Come, stand up, please. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Like I said earlier, this is not so that, I didn't do this to try to shake coins out of your pockets. I did this under obedience where God is saying, look, I want to bless my people. They need to know these. They need to know these and they need to know these. And you know, some of us know very well, hallelujah, but sometimes we don't realize that God is saying, you know what? I'm asking just for a little more from you. How's that? Is that right? I mean, like I said, it might not be money, but it might be time. I'm asking for a little bit more prayer time from you. I'm asking for a little bit more work time, help time, whatever. I'm asking for a little bit more. Hallelujah. Where you go out and you speak to somebody in the house, you speak to somebody on the streets. I'm asking for a little bit more evangelizing time. Because we have a world out there that doesn't know what you've got. And God is saying, I'm after it. I'm going after it. So give, and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaking together, and running over. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you are glad to hear the giving sermon? Yeah, I mean, you guys are being very, very quiet right now. But I'm going to tell you this. God is saying, as he's speaking something, know this, that he does not go back on his word. He will always keep his word to you. Test him, try him, you'll see it. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for what you're saying and what you're doing, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have a desire, Lord, that your blessing would not only flow into our homes and into our church, but, Lord, into the city. And Lord God, I just thank you for each and every person that's here, Lord, that, God, they're here for a reason. Lord, they're here because they love you and they desire, Father God, to know you more. And Lord, speak stronger and stronger into our hearts, Lord. Give us your ways. Give us your thoughts. We thank you for it, and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen.